Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32. It was the text for the last message. It's the text for this message as well. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32. And it says, "And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do." Let me just stop there. If ever there was a time that the people of Israel need to know what they ought to do, it's the times in which we find ourselves living today. Again, "and the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment." This will be Israel, Edom, and Ishmael, three keys to understanding the Bible and current events correctly. This will be part two. Without which, you'll never be one of today's Issacharites. Not that there aren't other qualifications. Nevertheless, without the biblical discrimination necessary to correctly discern the biblical Israelites, Edomites, and Ishmaelites, you will not be one of today's Issacharites, discerning the times and knowing what true Israel should do, especially as it concerns the Middle East conflicts. And let me repeat now what I declared at the beginning of the previous message. Anyone who doesn't differentiate between Yahweh's old covenant relationship with national Israel and Yahweh's new covenant relationship with his redeemed Israel remnant, in other words, those who insist Yahweh's special relationship with Israelites ended with the old covenant, does not know what they're talking about when it comes to what the Bible has to say about Israel. Furthermore, anyone who doesn't differentiate between the Judahites and Israelites in the Bible does not know what they're talking about when it comes to what the Bible has to say about Israel. Furthermore, anyone who doesn't differentiate between the biblical Israelites and biblical Judahites and today's Edomite, Khazarian, Ashkenazi Jews does not know what they're talking about when it comes to what the Bible has to say about Israel. Furthermore, anyone who doesn't differentiate between the horribly mistranslated word Gentiles and the Hebrew Goyim and the Greek Ethne does not know what they're talking about when it comes to what the Bible has to say about Israel. Furthermore, anyone who doesn't differentiate between redeemed Israel from the nation of Israel and an alleged spiritual Israel from all nationalities does not know what they're talking about when it comes to what the Bible has to say about Israel. Furthermore, anyone who doesn't differentiate between the alleged end of the world and the end of the Old Covenant Age, or the alleged last days of the world and the last days of the Old Covenant, as it pertains to their eschatology regarding the Israelites, does not know what they're talking about when it comes to what the Bible has to say about Israel. Nor will they recognize that what is, has been, and will continue into the unknown future as pertaining to the Middle East conflicts, they will never discern that what they're witnessing is a war between Edomites and Ishmaelites over what belongs to neither one of them. And once again, just because I say so doesn't make it so. On the other hand, if the Bible differentiates in those six areas, you had better pay attention. You'd better take heed, not only to what the Bible says, but also to who you're listening to. Now, for those listening, if you are not already aware of those six areas of differentiation, last week's message hopefully has begun to awaken you to what the Bible actually teaches in some of those areas. at least as it pertains to the second and fourth areas of differentiation, leaving four that still need to be developed. The previous message was principally devoted to identifying today's Ishmaelites and Edomites. Ishmaelites, otherwise known as today's Arab nations, and Edomites, otherwise known as today's Jews and Israelis. As was acknowledged in the 1980 Jewish Almanac, there's a real identity crisis for today's Jews and Israelis, and for anyone who's identified today's Edomites as Israelites. But today's Jews are not the only ones with an identity crisis, because being today's Jews are not Israelites, then someone else today must be. Or Yahweh's a liar because that's who he made the new covenant with, at least with a redeemed remnant from both the house of Judah and the house of Israel. For Jeremiah 31, 31 through 37, Hebrews 8, 8 through 10, and Romans 9, 3 through 5. The only passages, by the way, that identify who God made his new covenant with. And all three of them identify Israel, physical Israel, and their heirs as being heirs of the new covenant. In fact, let's look at Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, and we want to read verses 1 through 5 to begin with. Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. We're going to come back to Romans 9 a little bit later in the message. But for right now, Romans chapter 9, beginning with verse 1, it says, I say a truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, verses 3 through 5, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Verse 4, who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth, the New American Standard says, belongs the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. To whom belong, it says, to whom pertains, among other things, the covenants, the Abrahamic, Mosaic, and Christian covenants. They belong to Israel. They, of course, belong first to God, but he made those covenants with someone, and the Bible always identifies it, only identifies it, or identifies it as only being Israel with whom he did so. Why? Well, for one of the reasons, it's another marriage covenant, somewhat akin to the old covenant, marriage covenant, that God made with the nation of Israel, but now under the new covenant is with a redeemed remnant of Israel. Today's Edomites are not the only ones experiencing identity crisis. Obviously, so are the contemporary descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, oblivious for the most part to their Israelite identity. So, with this message, let's see if we can't assist today's Israel with their identity crisis by biblically, archaeologically, and historically identifying them. Lest God be a liar, let's begin with Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, we're going to begin with verse 1. Jeremiah 31, and at that time, what time? Well, let's find out. Look at the previous verse, the last verse of the previous chapter, Jeremiah 30 and verse 24. And it says, and the fierce anger of Yahweh shall not return until he have done it, and until he have performed the intents of his heart in the latter days you shall consider it. In the latter days, not of the world, but the latter days of the old covenant. And thus also at the early days of and throughout the entirety of the new covenant, as the context is going to prove here very shortly. All right, now Jeremiah 31 in verse 1 in its entirety. It says, "And at the same time, in the latter days of the old covenant, the beginning of the new, at that same time, saith Yahweh, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people." All Israel, as in every single Israelite? No, that's not what it says. All the families of Israel. In fact, a remnant of all the families of Israel from both the house of Judah and the house of Israel. Look at verse 7. "For thus saith Yahweh, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish ye and praise ye, and say, O Yahweh, save thy people, the remnant of Israel." The remnant of Israel. Just as we also find in Romans chapter 9 and Romans chapter 11, a redeemed remnant of Israel in Romans 9:27 and 11:5, and all Israel, or all the families of Israel, in Romans 11:26. Let's go look at it. Keep your place there if you can in Jeremiah 31. Eventually we're going to get back to it. Romans chapter 9 now again. Romans chapter 9 in verse 27. And then we're going to jump over to Romans chapter 11 verse 5. And then Romans 11:26. So Romans chapter 9 verse 27 to begin with. It says, "And Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved." Jump over to chapter 11, verse 5. Verse 5, "Even so, at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace." And then jump over to Romans 11:26, and it says, "And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Now, was Paul double-minded? Not at all. How then is a remnant being saved and Israel being saved harmonized or reconciled with each other? Easy. Easy. Provided you correctly identify the ethne in Romans 9 and in Romans 11 as descendants of the house of Israel instead of an alleged non-Israelite, or excuse me, instead of an alleged non-Israelite Gentiles. In other words, again, provided you correctly identify the ethne, that's the Greek word, in Romans 9 and Romans 11, the Greek word falsely, horribly translated Gentiles. Get rid of the word Gentiles in your Bibles, both Old and New Testaments alike. The same for Goyim as it is in the Old Testament, it is for ethne in the New Testament. Get rid of it, it should, and then right over the top of it, nations. Now again, easy to reconcile the remnant of Israel and all Israel in Romans chapter 9 and verse 11, provided we correctly identify the ethne in both Romans 9 and 11, and throughout the book of Romans, in fact, as descendants of the house of Israel, as intended by Paul and prophesied by Hosea, quoted by Paul. Now look at Romans chapter 9 and verses 23 through 26. Let's get rid of this word Gentiles and let's figure out what Paul is really talking about. So Romans chapter 9, 23 through 26, "And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he has called, not of," cross out the word Jews and put Judahites, representing only the house of Judah, "even us whom he has also called, not only from the Judahites only, but also from the nations. As he saith, also in Hosea, I will call them my people. Now he's quoting Hosea. Hosea chapter 1, and then the next verse, Hosea chapter 2. As he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved which were not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there they shall be called the children of the living God. Now if you were to stop right there, and especially with the word Gentiles, and especially having been taught that Gentiles means non-Israelites, that sounds like it's talking about non-Israelites. But he says, as he says in Hosea, we'll get back to that. Verse 27, Isaiah also, as he says in Hosea. And then in verse 27, Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel. Clue. Perhaps Hosea's also talking about Israelites. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. So there you go. As it says in Hosea. Well, what's it say in Hosea? Well, and I'm going to let you do this on your own. You have to go and read Hosea 1 and 2 to know what it says, to know who it's talking about. Like I did, which was another head-slapping epiphany regarding what we find in Romans chapter 9 and verse 11. Who are the nations Hosea's referring to? Well, you can find this out on your own. Don't believe me. You go read it. There's nothing in Hosea 1 and 2, or anywhere else for that matter in the book of Hosea, about non-Israelite alleged Gentiles. Nothing. Rather, everything therein concerns the nations of the diaspora house of Israel, whom God had divorced as his people, sent them away via the Assyrians, divorced them and dispersed them, that is, of course, what Hosea is talking about, if you read it for what it says. Eliminate the word Gentiles in Romans chapter 9 and 11 and replace it with nations, leaving it to Paul and Hosea to determine what nations they have in mind, and it becomes relatively easy to harmonize a remnant of Israel being saved in Romans 9:27 and 11:5 with all Israel in Romans 11:26. A remnant from all Israel. That is, from both the house of Judah and the house of Israel. Ezekiel 37's two sticks, identified as Judah and Israel, and Romans 11's two olive branches, identified in Ezekiel 37 again as the house of Judah and the house of Israel. Now back to Jeremiah 31, if you will, please. I did not keep my place, so let me get there. Jeremiah chapter 31. In Jeremiah 31, in verses 1 and 7, Jeremiah prophesied a remnant from all the families of Israel would be saved. When? At the end of the Old Covenant, and thus at the beginning of the New Covenant, verses 31 through 34. Verses 31 through 34. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with her fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them, to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yahweh. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith Yahweh, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, that is of the remnant of Israel, and every man his brother, saying, Know Yahweh, for they shall know me, from the least of them even unto the greatest of them, saith Yahweh. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. Who did Jeremiah prophesy? Who did Yahweh declare? Because he's the one speaking here. He would make his new covenant with. By the way, it was essentially this same question that started me down the road regarding Israel's true identity. A brother in Christ asked me the same question. Ted, who was the new covenant made with? That's all he did. He just said, Ted, who was the new covenant made with? Knowing that I would do my best to provide him with a scripturally based answer, after declaring that he made the new covenant with the church, you've heard that before, he said to me, give me a scripture for that. Which, of course, I wasn't able to provide him. Because there is no scripture declaring the new covenant was made with the church. Now, not that there's not some truth in that answer, provided the church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, is understood for who she is. When I couldn't provide a scripture for my answer, he said, turn to Hebrews 8, 8 through 10. That simply quotes Jeremiah 31, 31 through 33 that we just read. And once again, the forehead-slapping epiphany I had at the moment idea has forever changed and enhanced how I view the Scriptures. But when many people read either of those two passages, Jeremiah 31, 31 through 33, or Hebrews 8, 8 through 10, they read into them an alleged spiritual Israel comprised of saved people from all the nationalities of man that they call the church. A spiritual Israel found nowhere in the Bible. And I would recommend in that regard the book that one of the four books I recommended in the last message, and I'll mention them again at the end of this message, but I would recommend the book Spiritual Israel, Out of All Nations or Out of National Israel. A spiritual Israel, going back to my previous point, that when people read those two passages, they read into an alleged spiritual Israel comprised of saved people from all nationalities of mind. And a spiritual Israel found nowhere in the Bible. It's certainly not a spiritual Israel that Jeremiah prophesied. That is, unless by spiritual Israel you're referring to a redeemed remnant of physical Israelites. Jeremiah 31, if you will, again, verses 31 and 32 again. Jeremiah 31 and verses 31 and 32. Behold, listen to this, listen carefully. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yahweh. Did you catch it this time? The house of Israel and the house of Judah that God made his new covenant with cannot be anyone other than who Yahweh and Jeremiah said they were. The physical descendants of physical Israelites Yahweh led out of Egypt at the time of Moses. That's who Yahweh made his new covenant with. Lest, like so many today, you intend to make a liar of Yahweh. Not only that, but Yahweh also makes it clear that his new covenant relationship with his redeemed remnant from all the families of Israel would never end. Picking it up where we left off in Jeremiah 31, 35 through 37. Verse 35, thus saith Yahweh, which giveth the sun for light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, Yahweh of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith Yahweh, then the seed of Israel also shall cease being a nation before me forever. Thus saith Yahweh, if the heavens can be measured, have they been measured? No. And the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, less done in that regard than searching out the heavens or measuring the heavens. But he says, thus saith Yahweh, if heaven can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith Yahweh. Once again, he says, as long as the sun rules by day and the moon by night, that he will always have a relationship with Israel. Does the sun still rule the day? And does the moon still rule the night? Then unless you're prepared to call Yahweh a liar, his special covenantal relationship with physical Israelites has not ended, as many teach today that it has, but continues today and on into the future. Let God be true and every man a liar. Romans 3:4. It's a man-made flat-out lie to tell people that God's special relationship with Israel ended with the new covenant. My goodness, the new covenant was made with Yahweh's redeemed Israel remnant. Romans chapter 9 and verse 4, Jeremiah 31, 31 through 30, 33, and Hebrews 8, 8 through 10. We've read all of them. With whom did Yahweh make his new covenant? With a remnant of all Israel, from both the house of Judah and the house of Israel. Now, there's something else in that statement that must also be accepted and embraced, lest you intend to make a liar of God. Did Yahweh make his new covenant with Israel or not? Has that occurred, in other words, as God promised? I want you to turn to Numbers chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23, and look at verse 19 with me. Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? I got to read it again. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, in Jeremiah 31 and in Hebrews 8 and in Romans 9, has he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? If God hasn't fulfilled his word, as prophesied in Jeremiah 31, 31 through 33, and as quoted in Hebrews 8, 8 through 10, and covenanted with a physical remnant of the physical descendants of those Israelites whom Moses led out of Egypt, then you can throw your Bible out with the next trash pickup or throw it in the burn barrel. Like King Jehoiakim did in Jeremiah chapter 36, 20 through 23. Because if that be the case, God is a liar and cannot be trusted for anything else in his word. So what am I driving at? Well, if you believe God is true to his word, find the people who over the last 2,000 plus years who have predominantly embraced the new covenant gospel, and you found today's Israelites. The historical record doesn't lie. Now, people distort their historical record, but the historical record doesn't lie any more than God lies. History is under and by God's sovereign design. Therefore, take a map and draw circles around the land masses in which true Christianity has flourished for the past two millennia, and the identity of today's Israelites is self-apparent. Unless, of course, Yahweh has not been true to his promise in Jeremiah 31 and Hebrews 8. Either the Celtic Germanic, Scandinavian, Anglo-Saxon, and related peoples hereafter identified as Celto-Saxons comprise Israel, or Yahweh has not been true to His word. Because Yahweh is always true to His word, He has made the new covenant with Israelites. Plain and simple. And it's therefore fairly easy to figure out who those Israelites are, long as you believe that God is true to His word. Mark Belisles and Douglas Anderson, in one of their books, wrote the following, and note how this begins. Quote, For whatever reason? Well, we'll go on. For whatever reason, God clearly intended that His message be directed toward the West. And you hear others say the same thing, because it's undeniable. History doesn't lie. God is sovereign over history, and the gospel has always gone west. Let me go back and start again. For whatever reason, God clearly intended that His message be directed toward the west. In the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 6 through 10, the apostle Paul kept seeking to take the message of Christ to the east and to Asia, but he was forbidden to do so by the Holy Spirit. Instead, Paul received a vision in which he was led to understand that God's purpose was for Paul to go west into Europe. And then later they write, from this point forward, the gospel would make an external impact on societies that lay toward the west. Paul made plans to go to Italy and then on to Spain in obedience to this westward calling of God. And as a result, the flame of liberty would spread west to many locations in Europe before it would be carried across the Atlantic to America. End of quote. But they begin with, for whatever reason. For whatever reason? The reason is provided in Jeremiah 31, 31 through 33, and Hebrews 8, 8 through 10. People, the gospel did not go west by chance or accident. It went west by providence, by prophecy, and by covenant. Yahweh's word never fails, and therefore the peoples of the West, namely the Celto-Saxons, are today's true descendants of the Israelites of old. And don't forget the Jews, the Israelis, already eliminated themselves in their encyclopedias and almanacs, admitting that they aren't Israelites at all. Somebody's got to be. And we just found them. Over the last 2,100 years, Celto-Saxons, 20, it's more than that now, 2,200, 20, is it? Be 2,400 years, because you don't count the first year as well. It's somewhere in there. It's over. Let's say it this way: over the last 2,000 years plus, Celto-Saxons have predominantly been the most responsive to the New Covenant call of salvation. In fact, other nations would be oblivious to Christianity if not for the Celto-Saxons' proliferation of the gospel. And only the Celto-Saxons fulfill the dozens of biblical markers for Israel. See, and this is another one of the books I mentioned, if you'll recall. See, God's Covenant People, Yesterday, Today, and Forever. This nearly 500-page book is devoted to those biblical markers of Israel, contrasting today's Edomite Jews, who fulfill none of those markers. And by the way, in many instances, I use their own confessions about themselves as evidence. So again, the book, God's Covenant People, Yesterday, Today, and Forever, I contrast today's Edomite Jews, who fulfill none of those marks, with today's Celto-Saxons, who fulfill all of the marks of Israel. Additionally, some 1,400 Assyrian cuneiform tablets, provide various names the house of Israel assumed during their Assyrian captivity. These names that are mentioned in the Assyrian cuneiform tablets, these names have been linked to the Celto-Saxon peoples. There's a link all the way down until you get to the names we recognize today. And for who they are. See archaeologist Raymond Capp's book, Missing Links Discovered in Assyrian Tablets, the remarkable discovery of Assyrian tablets that reveal the fate of the, quote unquote, the long-lost tribes of Israel, end of quote. That's the full title, by the way. A book we carry on our store page at missiontoisrael.org. Today's Edomite Jews do not fit any of the biblical markers. Of course not. As we've already seen them admit in, again, their almanacs, encyclopedias, historical writings, and other literature, that they are not physical Israelites, but rather proselytes to the Antichrist religion of Judaism, which, don't forget, by their own admission, is one and the same as Talmudism. The Babylonian Talmud, arguably the most Antichrist piece of literature on the face of the earth, and the antithesis of nearly everything moral in Yahweh's law. The 1980 Jewish Almanac's first sentence of the first chapter entitled Identity Crisis, quote, strictly speaking, it is incorrect to call an ancient Israelite a Jew or to call a contemporary Jew an Israelite or a Hebrew. First sentence of the 1980 Jewish Almanac's first chapter entitled Identity Crisis. Strictly speaking, it's incorrect to call an ancient Israelite a Jew or to call a Jew, a contemporary Jew, excuse me, an Israelite or a Hebrew. Wow, what a confession. Dr. Alfred M. Lilienthal, Jr., on page 223 of his book, What Price Israel?, he wrote the following, quote, here's a paradox. A paradox. I must, by the way, let me stop, just in case you don't know this or you don't recognize it by name. Dr. Alfred M. Lilienthal, Jr. is a contemporary, he's not alive now, but is a Jew of contemporary times. This is what he says. Dr. Alfred M. Lilienthal, Jr., in his book, What Price Israel, on page 223, wrote the following. He said, quote, here's a paradox, a most ingenious paradox, an anthropological fact. Many Christians have much more Hebrew Israelite blood in their veins than most of their Jewish neighbors. End of quote. Israel, Edom, and Ishmael. Three keys to understanding the Bible and current events correctly. Fail to discern who these three people are, biblically, historically, and presently, and I assure you, you will make monumental errors in interpreting Old and New Testaments alike. Not to mention, missing out on one of the most exhilarating aspects of the Scriptures, including the principal reason Christ came to terra firma, that is to redeem and remarry a remnant of those old covenant Israelite peoples who comprised his former old covenant bride and queen. Now, more on this in the book, The Mystery of the Gentiles, Who They Are and Where Are They Now, concerning the marriage, Yahweh's remarriage to a remnant of Israelites. Once again, what I've shared with you in these two messages has only scratched the surface as it concerns Israel, Edom, and Ishmael and their identity in the Bible and in history, including presently. Therefore, for much more on this extremely vital subject as it concerns the Bible and what's going on today, including what's going on over in Israel, all the books that I mentioned earlier, let me once again recommend some resource material for further study. And all of these books, once again, can be found for free on our online book page at missiontoisrael.org, or you can have the books themselves for the asking. The Mystery of the Gentiles, Who Are They and Where Are They Now? God's Covenant People, Yesterday, Today, and Forever, Spiritual Israel, Out of All Nations or Out of National Israel, and Israel's Identity it matters. Hopefully you can see how much, or at least partially see, how much it matters that we get this right. And again, I recommend that you read them in the order I just provided to them. God's covenant people, the mystery of the Gentiles, God's covenant people, spiritual Israel, and Israel's identity, it matters. Hopefully, God has once again opened eyes that have been blind, like mine were for so many years before I was asked that question, Ted, who did God make the new covenant with? And the answer was there all along. I'd been blinded. I couldn't see it. And I read into it what wasn't there. But you take Jeremiah 31 and Hebrews 8 and Romans 9 for what they say, and it's clear. God made His covenant, the new covenant, all of His covenants, in fact, Romans 9, with Israel. Who are those people? It's those who have embraced His covenant and said, God, I'm yours. A remnant of those people that we can take a map and we can circle, take and mark a circle around those land masses, and it becomes obviously clear. If God is true to His word, then these people are Israel and not those who admit themselves they're not. Oh my goodness, have we been blinded. And oh my goodness, have we got an opportunity to find out so much more, because Israel, Edom, and Ishmael, particularly the former two, are keys to understanding so much more in the Scriptures. It will open up the Word to you like maybe nothing else ever has before. It certainly was one of the great epiphanies in my life that opened up the Scriptures in ways that I could have never imagined. And I can't tell you how many people I've heard say the same thing who have come to understand who Israel is in the Bible, as well as who they are as it regards the Bible and Israel. And they have been thrilled as I have been. And again, the Bible has just opened up to them in ways that they could have never imagined as well. And I assure you, it will for you as well, as any truth does. Those veins of gold in God's Word always lead somewhere to greater truths and greater masses of gold that God has buried in His Word. And they all tie together and make us better equipped in service to our God, to His praise, glory, and honor, and for the advancement of His kingdom here on earth. I hope these two messages have opened your eyes. If they weren't already, you don't need me to do it, but I hope the Scriptures that I've shared with you have opened your mind and your heart to things you hadn't seen before, if you hadn't seen them before, that'll lead you to greater truths and a greater relationship with your God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You, Lord, now, and thank You, Father, for Your love and mercies toward us in so many different ways. Again, particularly through the blood sacrifice of Yeshua the Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection from the grave that makes our relationship with You possible and available to us. And particularly for those who are Israel, another marriage relationship with You as our husband, our God and King. And we love You, Father, for that and for all things that You grant us and bless us with on a daily basis as well. Thank You for Your insights. Thank You, Father, for Your Word, and let Your Word prevail now in the hearts and the minds of those who will be listening to these messages now and into the future. We love You, Lord. We praise You. We glorify You. We claim these things in Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.